Amen. Welcome to River of Life. We're so glad you're here this morning. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord with all of you. So welcome, friends and guests. And this morning, our message is on the pool of Bethesda. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is anointed. And as it goes forth, Lord, that it penetrates into our hearts and our minds. And Lord, that it teaches us and draws us closer to you and gives us a deeper understanding of your love for each one of us and your amazing resurrection power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the pool of Bethesda is about a man that was trying to get into the pool to receive healing. And I read a story that I'd like to open up with. And it's about a wealthy man, and he had a huge mansion, and he decided to put in a saltwater pool. And so he put in a saltwater pool, and he had all these ocean fish put into it, and he invited all his friends to the mansion for this big party. And while they were at the party, he got up and he was talking to the crowd. And while he was talking to the crowd, they released sharks into the pool. And so this millionaire said to the people that were attending the party, he said, if any of you are brave enough to swim across the pool, I'll give you $1 million. And so they heard this big splash. And they saw this person swimming as fast as they could across the pool. And they jumped out. And, you know, the crowd is cheering and they're congratulating him. And after that was all over, he said, I just have one question. Who pushed me in the pool? So you see this man at the pool of Bethesda, he was hoping someone would push him in the pool. But we're going to read through this story together, and then we're going to go back and just talk about it. And it's in John 5. And so, if you'd like to read along with me, you're welcome to read out loud. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stopped in first after stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, Rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, Who was cured? It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them, He who made me well said to me, Take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, Who is the man who said to you, Take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So we're just going to break this down as we go through this passage and take a look at some things. And so it starts out saying, and there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now it's interesting, as you study this, he would go up because Jerusalem geographically was higher than the rest of the city, so you would go up to Jerusalem. But one of the reasons that Jesus was there was probably because he was visiting his great-grandmother. His great-grandmother's house was actually in that location. He had family in that area, and they thought that probably Jesus was going to visit his grandma. And this This is near the Temple Mount and near the Via Della Rosa. Have you ever heard of the Via Della Rosa? Yeah, it was near the Via Della Rosa, and also it began at the Lion's Gate where Stephen was stoned. And so as I was studying all this background, I was thinking about Trish. Our Trish is in Israel. She left yesterday for Israel, and I hope she gets to see all of these places herself. And so anyway, not down far down the road is where his grandmother lived. And he found himself at the pool, which was just a few steps away. And as you know, the pool, it says that there were five porches. They're called stoas, and they're just not a normal porch, but they're like an elaborate porch with columns, and they're an interior type porch. And originally, this was really, really expensive property. And there were two sources of water that went into Jerusalem, and this was one source. And this is where the rich hung out. It was right behind the temple. And the priests, when they were done with their duties for the day, they would go back and they would swim. And the educated and the wealthy hung out there. So it was kind of like a country club. And they enjoyed themselves. And so more and more of the elite came. And so they added on another porch. And then they added on another porch. And pretty soon they ended up with five porches. So this whole pool was surrounded by these beautiful porches. Well, what happened was the fresh water that was coming in and going out wasn't coming in and going out like it used to. And so some of the water began to get stagnant, and the pool wasn't staying as clean as it should have. And so the wealthy left, and it became ran down, and the terracotta was falling off, and it was really in bad shape. However, when the wealthy moved out, the poor moved in, because there began to be these reports that miraculous things were happening at this pool. And so it says, in these, talking about the porches, lay a great multitude of impotent folks. Impotent comes from the King James Version. Sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. And you see these sick people, because of the miracles that were happening there, they named the place the House of Mercy, the House of Kindness, where grace and favor and miraculous supernatural things took place. And it was a great multitude. And great multitude in the Greek is polos, plethos. And it means a massive amount of sick people. It wasn't a small amount. It was a massive amount of sick people that laid around this pool. And from the description, they were all lined up one against the other, and they were all looking towards the water because everybody was waiting for that water to move. And so it was unthinkable how many people were actually in this place. And it says impotent folks, and in the Greek, impotent means physically frail and financially broke. So this group of people, they were sick, and they were beyond, their conditions were beyond the help of any medicine of the day, and they had no money. So they were sick in their bodies and suffering economically also. And when it says that the people were blind, the historical accounts report that they weren't just blind. A lot of them had had their eyes gouged out. They didn't even have eyes. And that, I mean, these were people that were in very, very serious condition. The halt and the lame and the maimed, that means that they had lost a limb of their body. They had lost an arm, they had lost a leg, they had lost a hand, they had fingers missing, and they were paralyzed. So these are not people with minor ailments. You know, it's people that had no eyes to see, missing limbs, paralyzed, and they were the outcasts of society, and there was no medical help for them. But they were laying there waiting for the angel to come and stir the water, because that was their only hope. And when that water began to stir, it was the first person in the pool that would be healed. So it says, "For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." And the stirring of the water was a turbulent movement. It would be like if you had a container full of water and you pulled the plug out from underneath it. Have you ever seen the water go like this, swirl, as it's going out? And that is what happened when the angel would come down at a certain time, at a kairos time. She would come down, or he would come down, and he would begin to stir the water. And then whoever stepped in first would be healed of their disease. He would be made well, the scripture says. And in the Greek, that phrase, to be made well, means to get your life back again. Hallelujah. Get your life back again. Let's go on to the next verse. "Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. So how many times had he come but lacked the strength to get into the pool?" These are some things that you wonder about. 38 years. That is longer than some of you are old sitting in this place. 38 years. To be lying on a cot or lying on a mat in his condition. And so we see that some problems are beyond our ability to solve, and help has to come from beyond us. The infirmity that he had a grip on him. We're going to the next verse. "When Jesus..." Thank you, Jesus. "Saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time." Now, you see, Jesus didn't know him other than by the Spirit of God. But he knew that he had been there a long time. And he went to him and he said, "Do you want to be made well?" You know, there are times that we may think Jesus doesn't notice our troubles. But I want to encourage you this morning, he does. Out of all the great multitude of people that was lying there, Jesus noticed the man that had been sick for 38 years. And think of all the people that Jesus would have had to walk over to get to this man. He had to go by a lot of sick people. He didn't heal all of them. He had his eye on this man that was in this condition for 38 years. And Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole?" Other translations say. But in the Greek, the original says, "Do you want your life back again?" And of course, the man said, yes, he wanted his life back again. But at the same time, this person had a lot to think about, because getting his life back after laying on a mat for 38 years and social programs or social services taking care of him and somebody coming all the time to care for him, he couldn't do anything for himself. So for 38 years, he had been taken care of. He didn't have to work a job. Everything was taken care of for him. So there was a huge change coming to this man's life. The scripture didn't say anything about him having faith, but I noticed that when Jesus went to him, he wanted an agreement. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to change? And that is often the question that the Lord asks us. Do you want to change? There are many things we want in life, but we're going to have to change some of the things that we do, some of our habits, some of our patterns. Things are going to look different when Jesus comes in and touches your life. He rearranges everything. Somebody say amen. Amen. And he does it for our good. You know, this man was laying there and Jesus noticed him. And I thought about the scripture in Proverbs that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Jesus must have noticed his sick heart because the man had all but given up on life. So there was a lot that was going to happen in this man's life in a very short amount of time. Thank you, Lord. Obviously, he wanted to change. But we're going to look at his answer in a minute. But I read this is just short here, about a person who was trying to avoid change. And it was a young man in the 1960s who didn't want to be drafted. And I can relate to all that because I was alive in the 60s. And I remember when Leonard had to go in for the draft. And his mom prayed over him that he wouldn't pass the test. And so for some unknown reason, he tested for asthma. He'd never had asthma before, but he did then. And so he didn't have to go to Vietnam. Yes. And he was a small man. His mom was worried about him because he was a small person and she was concerned about what they would use him for out in the battlefield to climb through the tunnels and all of the dangers that would be there. Not that, I mean, I had a brother that went to Nam and served two terms. And so nothing against the war, but his mom didn't want to go. God heard his prayer and he had asthma. So praise God, he doesn't have asthma. But anyway, this guy was trying to avoid the draft. And so he decided that he would have all of his teeth pulled. He had all his teeth pulled and he went in for his physical. And you know what? They didn't pass him based upon his flat feet. He could have kept all his teeth. Hallelujah. Oh. But I thought that was comical. But Jesus was asking that impotent man if he wanted his life back again. And you know, the easiest thing in the world is to say, yes, I want to change. And I don't know how many of you have ever said, I'm going on a diet. I'm not going to eat such and such. I'm not going to do this. And then you have the encounter with the refrigerator. The idea of you changing just hits you right in the face. You know, you have to make some decisions here. And so, anyway, let's read on and see how the man answered him. John 5:7. The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down. And so just by him using the word sir, that word in the Greek means God, Lord, our master. So this man that was laying on this mat, he recognized some authority or the authority that was in Jesus Christ, but he really had no idea who he was. And the interesting thing is Jesus just asked him a simple question. Do you want to be made whole? To me, that's like a yes or no question, right? Yes or no. But instead of just answering yes or no, the man started telling his story. Have you ever asked someone a simple question and they start telling you stories? It's like, ah. And so Jesus listened for a little bit because actually in the Greek, it really indicates that the man talked on and on and on and on. And finally, Jesus just interrupted him. He interrupted him. Let's see what he says. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. He just interrupted the guy. And it was like a strong interruption with the words that are used in the Greek. It wasn't something that the people around him might have thought, well, my goodness, why is he talking so mean to that poor man that's been laying there for 38 years? And then Jesus is like, I just wanted a yes or no answer, you know? But anyway, he told him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. And so we see that, you know, they broke some Sabbath laws by him doing that. Hallelujah. Then that's what they're pointing out. And so the man immediately got up. I just can't even imagine after laying 38 years. I can't even imagine that. You know, when I've had surgeries, I've been in the hospital and I can't get up and around much for just a couple weeks. You get pretty weak, don't you, Patty? You just get pretty weak. And so this guy, 38 years, what an amazing miracle that he could stand up and roll up his bed and walk. Amazing, amazing power of God to heal and restore. It doesn't matter if you've had it for 38 years. It doesn't matter if the doctors have said there's no hope for you. All of those things can disappear when the resurrection power of Jesus Christ hits our bodies. Hits our bodies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. John 5:10. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." In other words, they're saying to them, this is the Sabbath day, and this is not a good time for you to be healed. A religious spirit wanted to put the man right back in bondage. Jesus just healed him and set him free, and right away they're on him. This is not a good day for you to be healed, get back in bed. But he went walking, carrying his bed. And the other issue was he was walking. And that word, that when it talks about the healing that he received, well, yeah, it was instantaneous, but it was also therapeutic. The more he walked, the stronger he got. The more you walk out your healing, the more you walk out what Jesus Christ has done for you, the stronger you are going to get. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, he answered them and he answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And literally in the Greek, it means pick up your bed and keep moving. Keep moving. Well, see, the other issue was on the Sabbath, you could only walk so far. There were rules in the Sabbath. You could only take so many steps on the Sabbath. It was called a Sabbath walk. And so he was walking too many steps. And so once again, the religious folks, they were getting all upset. First of all, you're carrying a bed. You're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. And now you're walking all around. Go sit down is what they really wanted to tell him. I don't think you could have set that man down. What do you think? I don't think so. John 5:12-13. Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. So Jesus had left. He didn't even realize it was Jesus that had healed him. And this is the word healed that means therapeutic healing. While he was getting stronger as he was moving around. John 5:14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. Jesus went looking for him. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus went looking for him and he found him in the temple and he said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." So he found him. And when the scripture says see, it's also a word for behold. But in the Greek, it is actually an interjection to denote a surprise. So when Jesus saw him, he said, "See, you have been made well." I wonder if Jesus was even amazed at the condition and the healing that this man received. Jesus was like going, "Wow, look at you. Look at you. Look what my Father did." He was giving God the glory. It wasn't Jesus. It was the power of God from on high that hit that man and caused him to rise up and walk. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I didn't know something could amaze Jesus. But when you get to study into the original language, you find out a lot of things that aren't just written in the word. But he told him, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So something may have opened the door that created an access point for the enemy to move into his life. Because Jesus told him, go and sin no more. It doesn't say what the man's sin was. Because you know what? Jesus, he removes our sins. He removes our shame. He doesn't highlight and point them out and tell everybody and make it public. No, Jesus removes the shame. Jesus removes the sin. He said, you go and you close every door and you seal up every crack. And if you ever open that door again, it could come back. That's the way I hear it. Go and sin no more. And so the church is a house of Bethesda. It's a house of mercy. It's a place where God's mercy is poured out. A place where he touches people's hearts. And he sets us free. He does something special every time we gather together. And so the question would be, what do you go home and do with what Jesus does? Think about what Jesus is doing right now in our hearts. His presence has been here. He is walking among us today. And he is moving. He is stirring the waters of our soul today. He is stirring and he wants to touch and make us whole. And last Sunday, I said to the Lord, what do you want me to teach on? And he said, the Pool of Bethesda. And so I remembered we had a prophetic word at one time regarding, maybe more than once we've had one, regarding us being a pool of Bethesda. Because people come in and they're emotionally destroyed. But Jesus Christ can heal your emotions. People come in and they're physically destroyed. Jesus Christ is the strength. He is the one that created our bodies. He is the great physician and he can heal and restore. And people come in and relationships are shattered. Marriages are a mess. Marriages can get really complicated. Don't wait so long if your marriage is getting complicated that it's so difficult to untangle to ask for help. Because God created us to reach out to people to help us. It's like the man laying at the pool. He said, I can't get in by myself. I need some strength to get into this water. When you go to somebody else, it is the strength of the Lord that flows from them to you to help you in your situation so that you can rise up and walk in the fullness of the calling that is upon your life. Thank you, Jesus. Can you give him a shout of praise this morning? Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to share the word of the Lord that was spoken over this church. All of us need to have an understanding of who we are and what God says we are and what God does in this house. I hear the Lord say that it's not an accident that this church was named the River of Life. For out of this building flows my love and my joy and my peace and my spirit. And it flows out the door into the streets, into the neighborhoods, into the community. As the tide goes out and it comes back in, it brings in things. And as my spirit goes out of this place into the neighborhood, it brings back with it people into the church, people that are seeking. And I hear the Lord say, this river is going to become a pool of Bethesda. I am not going to just trouble the waters once a year, but I'm going to be in it all the time. I'm going to trouble this river all the time. And just like the pool of Bethesda, whoever stepped in first got healed. I'm going to this river. I'm going to be in this river, a constant flow of my miracle working power. It will draw those who have been skeptical and it will show that I am real. That I am God. I am the healer. I am the redeemer. Because this river is going to flow and it will bring healing. The church is a pool of Bethesda for the healing and the restoration of our body, soul, and spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your river is flowing this morning. And I'm going to ask Jeff if he'll go on up, if praise team will get ready for our closing song. But the river of healing is always flowing in the church. Hallelujah. It's here. We step out and we ask the Lord for help. We can't make it without him. We cannot make it without him. Evil is running rampant in this world. But this morning they said since the first of the year, 199 mass shootings have occurred in America. And people wonder what is wrong. When you remove God, the enemy comes in. When there is a void and you remove God from your daily life and the laws of the land and you legislate against God's decrees, you are asking for Satan to run wild in the streets. And he has no limits. He pushes and pushes and pushes because he's here to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. And Lord, we pray for the healing of our nation today. We pray, Lord God, for those who are in leadership. We pray, Lord, that you turn the hearts of the men and the women back to you. Lord, we pray for families. We pray for the men in this country. We pray, oh God, for fathers to rise up as righteous men, oh Lord. We pray for mothers to rise up as women, releasing the wisdom of God in the marketplace, wisdom crying out in the streets. Lord, I pray for this nation, Lord, that you open ears. Lord, and I pray protection over the church and over the people of River of Life. Lord, that they put on the helmet of salvation and you protect their minds, oh God, from all of the mind programming that's going on, Lord, in this nation and through the media and through the internet, Lord. Guard our hearts and guard our minds in the name of Jesus. Like a mighty warrior, the Lord guards our heart and he guards our mind. Thank you, Lord, for your help. We've got to ask him. We've got to ask him. We ask him to help us today. Each one of us has needs. God's help. We need his help. We need his healing touch. Everyone sitting in this place has something going on in their life that they need a healing touch from the Lord. And the river is flowing and the pool is stirring and the Lord can restore body, soul, and spirit today. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you for what you're doing in each person's heart. Can you just lift your hand to the Lord and just respond to him? He is looking at this place today. He is looking over each one of you and he has great love for you. All that you have need of, the Lord has right now. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, release, oh Lord, your love to each person. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for your great love for each one of us in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name.